Now we have lots of visitors with us this morning. We'll welcome you. Great to have Nathan's family with us. Nathan's dad is a pastor, and so he doesn't get away from his church very often. For him to come join us on a day that he's away from the pulpit is a great privilege. Glad to have you with us today. Glad to have Devin's family with us as we're celebrating his baptism. And now we got a few other visitors, so just so glad that you're here. Want to let you know what we're talking about on these Sunday mornings. We're going through a series called I Will. We're taking a look at our church covenant. A church covenant is just a conglomeration or a collection of the things that we know that God has called us to do as a church. We've taken a look at the New Testament, and we see that there are things that he expects of church members. When we're a member of a church, there are certain things that he calls us to do. And so our church covenant kind of puts all those in one place. And then we as a church are able to come together and say, yes, this is what we're going to commit to. This is what we're going to be about as church members here at Flint Hill Baptist Church. So we've been working through our new covenant that we're going to vote on just a little bit. But part of that covenant is each statement starts with, I will. I will do something. A lot of times we are audience members in a lot of places we go, and one place we do not want to be an audience member or just somebody who observes is church. God calls us to be actively involved. He calls us each to take responsibility of what he's called us to do as church members. And so we want us as individuals to say, I will do these things. Not I could do them, or you know, I might do them, or you know, that's something I could do, I can do, so that's something I should do. No, we want each of us to say, I will. So this week, we're taking a look at the statement that I will grow with others. And I want to put our two statements from our covenant that we're looking at this morning up on the screen. Go ahead and put that up there. The first one says, I will be involved in a small group to grow and study in knowledge of God's word. The second statement from the covenant that's related to that is, I will commit to discipleship relationships so that others and I may grow spiritually. These are two very important statements of our new church covenant, because discipleship is key to our church revitalization. Now you might think, hey, you know, we're doing discipleship. We meet in Bible study classes. We study God's word. Is that not discipleship? I want us to take a look at what it actually means to be disciples. We know that God gives us very clear instructions in Matthew 28, 19 through 20. I've read this passage many times as we've gone through this series, but I want to give weight to it if it's important. So would you please stand as we read the Word of God together. Matthew 28, 19 through 20. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Thank you. You may be seated. Nearly every evangelical church you go to will recognize this as the Great Commission and its call for us to make disciples as being core to what we do as a church and the church's mission. Yet most of our churches struggle to do it, including ours. Yet the key to obeying the Great Commission and any revitalization in a church requires us to have a correct understanding of what discipleship is. Maybe discipleship for you meant going to discipleship classes on Sunday night. Maybe it meant going to training union classes on Sunday night and doing sword drills. I was part of sword drills where you would practice memorizing scripture and practice finding verses in the Bible. And you'd go to even competitions. Now, if you're under 50, you have no idea what I'm talking about. But we used to have discipleship classes on Sunday night. You went to worship on Sunday morning. Before you went to worship on Sunday night, you went to training union classes or discipleship classes. Or maybe your idea of discipleship is going through your daily Bible reading every day and checking a box off. We like checking off boxes. Our envelopes back in the day, probably 30 years ago, maybe 40 years ago now, when you had your offering envelope, everybody had their offering envelope. You always wrote your name, what you gave. Everybody did it every week, and there were boxes to check off. Remember this, if you're over 50? Did you do your daily Bible reading? Check. Were you in Bible study? Check. Have you given your offering? Check. Did you witness to somebody? Check. Now, while the meaning behind that was good, we want people to understand that we're to be about these disciplines. A lot of times when you did those checks, you're like, yeah, I got 4 out of 5 this week. Or it was also a sense of guilt. I wasn't able to check any boxes this week. I hate that envelope. Anytime pride or guilt comes into the discipleship process, it's not a good thing. Or maybe your idea of discipleship was going through a book like this. Anybody go through Experiencing God? Anybody involved in a Beth Moore study? If you were a woman and you were part of the church in the late 90s or early 2000s, you knew all about Beth Moore. Ladies love going through Beth Moore. And these are great studies, and there's all kinds of them out there. And Southern Baptists went through thousands of these, all kinds of different studies, and they're very good. I've used them with teenagers, and I still encourage people to do them today. But if you think going through a Beth Moore study or going through Experiencing God or a study like it makes you a disciple, you're wrong. Discipleship is not going through some workbook. Let me give you the correct description of what a disciple is. Three things. A disciple is someone who leads new people to Christ. A disciple is someone who leads new people to Christ. Second, a disciple is somebody who helps those new Christians grow in their faith. They help new Christians grow in their faith. And third, a disciple leads those new Christians to make new disciples. And I thought, you know, as I looked at that description, I was like, maybe I'm pushing that too much. Maybe that's not really the case. You know, what if somebody's faithful to their church and faithful to do Bible studies, faithful to their Sunday school class, even faithful to serve? Doesn't that make them a disciple? What do you think? Then I remembered Jesus' call to his original disciples. What does he say? Come, follow me, and I will make you what? Fishers of men. Jesus' full intention from the very beginning was not to make them great Bible study students, not to make them some great social activists, not to make them faithful church members, but to make them fishers of men. People who followed him in obedience, and part of that obedience, one of the most important things of that obedience, is to make new Christians. Share the gospel. Raise them up in Christ so they can do the same. Discipleship is not something you learn in a class or at a conference. Discipleship happens when you become who you hang out with. We get concerned when our teenagers are hanging out with the wrong crowd. As a parent of 2 teenagers, I'm all over that. I understand that. Why do we get upset when they're hanging out with the wrong crowd? Because the crowd they're hanging out with disciples them. You become like the people you hang out with, right? In the same way, we are to disciple our kids, We are to disciple others around us by who we hang out with, who we spend time with, hanging out and showing them what it means to walk in the faith. If you want our church to become a congregation that makes disciples who make disciples, we have to get our people into discipling relationships with one another. And this is one of our highest priorities of our revitalization. This is the statement that I've made. It's a statement that is important to our revitalization team, and it won't. Our revitalization will not work till you understand, accept it, embrace it, and participate in it. We want every member to be in a discipling relationship. We want every member to be in a discipling relationship. What do we do in these relationships? What are we asking you to do? Well, the first thing we do is we model. We model what the Christian life looks like. We should follow Paul's example in 1 Corinthians 11:1 when he says, "Imitate me just as I imitate Christ." Paul was imitating Christ and doing the things that Jesus did. And he told those people coming behind him, "Imitate me. Do what I do as I follow Christ." And that is what we're to do for one another. And when you enter into a mentor relationship or a discipling relationship, that's exactly what you're doing. You're asking that person to watch you as you follow Christ. We mentor them. We teach them Christian disciplines. Christian disciplines are activities and skills a Christian does to grow in their faith. And they can be taught. A mature Christian works to do as many of them as he can. An immature Christian says, "You know, I don't need to do those things. I'm fine doing the things I'm doing. I don't need to add anything to my disciplines. I don't need to add anything to my spiritual walk to grow in faith with Him. I'm fine right where I am." My friends, we don't do these disciplines because we have to. That's where legalism takes place, checking off the boxes so we can be in right relationship with Christ. No, we do the disciplines because He's already forgiven us 100%. He has saved us. He loves us unconditionally. And out of that unconditional love, the response is we want to do all we can to grow in our relationship with Him. And so we should want to do these disciplines. What are these disciplines? You know what they are. I've been all fall. I taught you through them as we went through our path of discipleship. Disciplines include being baptized, like Devin did this morning, joining a church, attending worship faithfully, attending corporate Bible study faithfully, having a quiet time, fasting, memorizing God's word, reading God's word systematically, being a giver, being in a mentor relationship, serving your church, serving the world, engaging your neighbors, going on mission trips, sharing your faith. You work together to do these disciplines, adding them to your daily routine and your spiritual walk. So we mentor in discipling relationships, but we also meet. So we model, we mentor, and we meet. It's essential to meet on a regular basis. Some meet weekly. We've challenged our mentoring pairs to meet monthly. But meeting on a regular basis helps to encourage one another. It helps challenge one another, hold each other accountable. You get together and you pray for one another. You check in, see how you're doing on your Bible memorization, on your Bible reading. You ask each other about your one and what you're doing to share your faith with your one. You discuss scripture and apply it to your lives. You share your struggles that you have. And if necessary, keep each other accountable when it comes to sin. You can use a curriculum, a discipleship book to interact with, to evaluate your life against it. Some, when I've said that I've asked them to be involved in a mentor relationship, they've said they're too busy. If we say we're too busy to do a discipling relationship, maybe we need to stop doing other things. Not just in our individual lives, but maybe in our church life as well. We have lots of activities here at our church, don't we? And they all glorify God. WMU is great. God does great things through it. Victory Sports is great. God uses great things through that. We see evidence of that this morning. Our senior adult events are great. Great, provides fellowship and community. God wants to use it for his glory. Having a fall festival is great. Doing our live nativity is great. It all honors God. But if any of those things make us too busy to have a one-on-one discipling relationship, we've missed the point. We can spend all our time doing good things and miss out on the most important thing, which is my next statement for your notes. We can be busy doing good things and miss the most important thing. Did you read that Great Commission as we read it? It doesn't say go and have senior adult groups. It doesn't say go and have youth group and disciple nows. It doesn't say go and have men's breakfast. It doesn't say go and have a circle meeting. Go and have fall festivals and trunk or treat. What does it say? Go and make disciples. All those things I listed could be good. And I know many of you have spent your whole lives doing them. But if we don't make disciples, we've missed the point. We've missed the boat. Our ladder is leaning against the wrong house. For the last 9 years, in August I'll have been here 9 years. And I have to take responsibility for this. We have not been a church filled with people who are making disciples. We've been busy. We've done all kinds of things, and they were good things, but we have not been making disciples as we should. Now, we've had a few exceptions where God has used us to change lives despite our busyness. Think of Randy Souter, came to us. We've poured into him. Jim poured into him as a mentor in a relationship, and God has made him into somebody who loves the Lord and wants to serve, and wants to serve the homeless. I think of Johnny Morrison, who came confused, wanting to reconnect with his childhood faith. And now he loves the Lord. He loves evangelism. He can't talk to anybody without sharing Christ with them. I think about teenagers in our church right now who give their summers to serve. I think of how we've poured into Cheeseburger and his ministry as a chaplain. So God is making disciples in our midst, despite us sometimes. But as a whole, we are not a group of people who are actively and intentionally pouring into individuals to disciple them and make disciples who make disciples. And it has grieved me. It's hit me straight in between the eyes when we first started the revitalization process. I've spent the last 2 years grieving my lack of leadership in this area. But with everything that I am over the last 2 years, I've been trying to rectify that. I started with the deacons and asked them to mentor somebody, gave them material to do that. We have grown from just 16 people being involved in a mentor relationship to now we have 32 people involved in mentor relationships. And that is great, great news. But my friends, at some point, the responsibility moves from me to you. Will you pick up that responsibility? Saying to yourself, I will be in a mentor relationship. We will only be a successful church when we as a body of believers lead new people to Christ and help those new believers grow. And those disciples make new disciples. Our goal is for every member to be in a discipling relationship, a relationship where they're now being accountable to somebody else and they're working on those things that help them grow in their faith and making new disciples. If we do that, we will grow. I want us to get to the point where all of us are in one of those discipleship relationships, those mentoring relationships, and then we run out of people in here to do that. And then what do we have to do? We have to pick people outside the church, our neighbors, our coworkers, our friends, our family members. And those people will deepen in the relationship with Christ. And you know what happens when you fall more deeply in love with Christ? You want to worship Him. And so you look for a place to worship. You want to serve Him, so you look for a place to serve. And if they're in a discipling relationship with somebody who's already going to church, where's the most likely place they're going to go? Our goal is for every member to be in a discipling relationship. If we do that, we will grow. If we do that, we'll transform our neighborhood. There'll be transformation in our businesses, our schools, our families, and our community will be better because our church is here. This is why our new church covenant, we have this statement. It says, I'll commit to a discipleship relationship so that others and I might grow spiritually. Our revitalization team went through all kinds of different books, discipleship books, and evaluate them and evaluated what they challenge each Christian to do. And the book we settled on was Follow Me. And we love this book. It's by David Platt. And the reason we love it so much is because he's a great motivator. He causes you as you read it to examine your life and say, am I really following Jesus the way He's called me to follow Him? And he motivates you. And the actual byline here is a call to die, a call to live. Am I really dying to my old self and living for Him? He was the president of the International Mission Board. And so he's got great experience in what it means to make disciples. And so as you read it, you apply it to your life. And then as you read, you flip to the back. And he encourages you to add these church disciplines, these disciplines to your life. They'll help you grow in your relationship with God, reading God's Word systematically, memorizing God's Word, making sure you're a member of a church, making sure you're part of a small group, making sure you're in a mentor relationship, all the things that I've already encouraged you to do in that path of discipleship. We have challenged all our church members to enter into a discipleship relationship and use the Follow Me book. And then once you finish working on those disciplines together in a pair, then you move on to somebody else. Each of you pick a new person to do Follow Me with, and it multiplies and it multiplies. Imagine members doing Follow Me with their neighbors, their coworkers, or their classmates, or their teammates. Imagine Flint Hill people meeting in restaurants all over Fort Mill, eating lunch together, doing Follow Me, praying together, holding one another accountable. One of my favorite days, proudest moments, is I meet with different pastors every month. We gather together for pastor prayer, and we commiserate together, and we encourage one another. We share what we're going through, and we pray for one another. But we were over at Eggs Up. And while I was meeting with those pastors over there in the booth was Jake Edwards and Bob Fein. Going through Follow Me. Discipleship was taking place, and it wasn't in this church building. I wasn't involved. It wasn't in a Sunday morning Bible study class. It was in the community. They were doing it on their own. It was an awesome day. What's great about this is we don't have to have another weekly meeting. We don't have to commit to another night to get together. It happens on your schedule when it works for you. You get together once a month to discuss what you've read. Practice sharing the three circles about sharing your faith. Encourage one another in your disciplines. Pray for one another as you strive in your faith, trying to share your faith. Encourage each other as you serve the church and the world. It is intentional discipleship. It is discipleship that changes lives. This is discipleship that will make our church healthy. It is a discipleship that will make a kingdom impact. So may we as church members commit ourselves to corporate Bible study. We need corporate Bible study. It helps us engage with other church members It intertwines our lives. It helps us serve one another, know one another. It helps us be evangelists. It helps us interpret God's word correctly. What we do as we gather in small groups is important. But Flint Hill, as we move forward, it is my prayer that one-on-one discipleship relationships will be just as important to us as what we do at the 9:30 hour. How about you? Will you commit to be in a one-on-one discipleship relationship? Will you do follow me with somebody? If you're not already in a one-on-one discipleship relationship, I would love to get you started. Use the form on the side of your bulletin. Give it to me, turn it into the church office, email me, call me, let me help you get started. We might need to wait till one of those 30 finish their relationship, their time, and then get you plugged in. It might take a couple of months, but we will make it happen. So there's a blank in your worship notes there. It says this: the person I am discipling in a discipling relationship with. Can you write a name there? If you can't, my question to you, will you be obedient to enter into a discipleship relationship with someone? Commit to do it. Let us help you do that as a church. This is so important and vital. Our revitalization team and I believe this, along with our path of discipleship, is the linchpin of us moving forward in a healthy manner as a church. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your command to make disciples. Thank you for the example that you gave us. Lord, I confess, I mourn and grieve over my lack of leadership for the most of my time here and helping us move forward to make disciples who make disciples. But Lord, I believe you've given us a path, you've given us a team, a path of discipleship. You've given us a way that we can focus on making disciples. May we be obedient. Step up. Do something different so you might do a great work in our midst. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to have a time of invitation. And we always want to give anybody an opportunity to make a response to Jesus Christ and the gospel that's been proclaimed. Devin expressed the gospel this morning. He once was dead. He once was lost in his sin, but now he's alive. He once was walking an old life, but he went under that water. He was cleansed by the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, and he raised to walk a new life in obedience with Christ as a new creation. Have you experienced that? Have you ever experienced those waters? If you haven't, I want to give you an opportunity to do that even this morning. There's a simple exchange that needs to take place. It's simple. Some say it doesn't cost you anything, but I think that's a lie. It's a misunderstanding. It costs you everything. God says we need to admit that we're sinners, that we've messed up, that we've become God of our own lives. We have to confess that Jesus was the Son of God, that he died on the cross so our sins could be forgiven, and that he rose from the dead 3 days later. And then we must confess him as Lord, boss of our lives. We have to give our lives to him, say, Lord, I'm not going to live for me. I want to live for you. It means giving up our old life, but living the life he's called us to live as a new creation in him. Have you made that exchange? God longs to be in right relationship with you. You know how I can prove it? He sent his one and only Son to die on the cross for you, so you might be in right relationship with him. So if you haven't made that exchange, I'd love to pray with you. Even as we sing our song of invitation, I'm going to be down here. I'd love to pray with you. Maybe you're not part of a church family. We'd love to have you part of our church family here at Flint Hill Baptist. As we sing, I would love to help get you started on that process. You can come forward and I'll talk to you about it. And Christian, how about you? What have you been doing to be a disciple who makes disciples? What can you do to be obedient to that call? Commit to that as we sing this morning. Will you stand?
Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. Speak and my soul may hear. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. Calm every doubt and fear. Speak to my heart, I pray. Yield and still, speak thy will. Oh, speak to my heart today. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. Purge me from every sin. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. Help me the lost to win. Speak to my heart, oh, speak to my heart, I pray. Yield and still, seeking thy will, oh, speak to my heart today.
Thank you. May you be seated just for a few moments. I'm going to ask Devin to come up. I have a certificate here I wanted to present to him on this special day of his baptism. Congratulations to you, and what a privilege and honor to have you part of our family here. We look forward. He's already said that he wants to be a family member at Flint Hill Baptist Church. He wants to be a member, and so we'll make that official. He's already been through foundations, and we'll make that official on our next family business meeting. But thank you for being obedient to be baptized this morning, proclaiming to the world what God's already done in your heart. So I encourage you to come by, greet his family, greet him this morning, let him know you're proud of him, and celebrate with him this decision in his life. Let me say a word of blessing over you. If it's not raining, I'll be out in the courtyard. If I didn't get to shake your hand, I'd love to do that. If not, I'll be right down here. Love to talk to you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for Devin and the example that he's given, telling the world what you've done in his heart. Lord, help us to be faithful, to not only follow you, but be fishers of men as well, to be faithful, to make disciples, to make disciples. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It is nice. Thank you.